Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Marissa Young. She is the program editor for Women in Security with the NATO Association of Canada. She is entering her fourth year of her Bachelor's of Arts honors degree in political studies and history at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Marissa has conducted research at the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto in G720 diplomacy and global health security. At Queen's, Marissa has been actively involved with the Queen's International Affairs Association as their chief financial officer, and she has traveled across North America on their competitive Model United Nations team. Her research interests center around women and security. This is where she hopes to specialize in gender integration efforts within the armed forces. I'd like to welcome Marissa Young. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit down to do this interview with me today. Marissa, I'd like to begin by asking you the following question. Can you please begin by telling us more about your academic background, along with what it is you want to do as time progresses?
So I went to Haverga College, which is an all-girls high school just located at Avenue and Lawrence in Toronto. And throughout my experience there, they've always pushed women empowerment and being able to break any glass ceiling possible. And so once I'd graduated and entered into university at Queen's, I was a little bit shocked to see that sometimes there's the same kind of gender discrimination in the academic field. And when studying politics, I wanted to be able to go into a subfield of politics that I could work towards changing this and transforming the way that women are perceived in politics and international relations and how to be able to go forward in studying this. I am looking towards, in the future, going to pursue a thesis in women and security, specifically about how gender integration is implemented within the armed forces.
And over the past few months, you have served as the program editor of Women in Security here at the NATO Association of Canada. So with your background and with the experience that you've had over the past few years, especially with your academic background, what would you say have been some of the most rewarding and challenging aspects associated with the work that you've done here?
Well, one of the most rewarding parts is that I've been able to have the freedom to explore a field that I'm very passionate about and be able to write research and create different articles for people to engage with about women and security. Also with the NATO Association, I've been able to travel to various conferences. They've given me liberty to take the time to go to the Women and Security Conference in Halifax this year and also participate in the field study that I'll be talking a bit more about later.
And as the new and current program editor of Women in Security, please discuss some of your recent publications. I know you've been heavily involved in, you know, a lot of projects. You've worked on, you know, various interviews that you've conducted. You've worked on various publications, and you have also been actively involved in attending various events, roundtables, and conferences. So can you talk more about your involvement here at the NATO Association of Canada, mm-hmm. along with some of your most recent work?
So some of my recent work to do with gender, I've written about some things with the military. Say I have an article out about Russian women in the armed forces and how the Russian women have been pushing for more integration within the armed forces. I've also written about gender in terms of sexual assault with the recent cases in the United States about how sexual assault policy has to be transformed on college campuses. Also, beyond women in security, I've been able to write about procurement problems and about various topics from Orlando to North Korean nuclear testing. In terms of events, I've been able to attend some United Nations Women in Security talks and being inspired by that to plan a girls' education and armed conflict event with the NATO Association that's happening at the end of August, on August 30th. And it's been very exciting to be able to take something that I'm so passionate about and be able to transform it into something that I hope other people will be just as interested in, because sometimes in terms of gender, a big challenge is engagement with people. If people might not see the field as something so pressing and something so important to transform within our everyday society. So getting these experiences are very valuable to me because I'm able to take an idea and transform it into something that I hope other people will be passionate about as well.
Here at the NATO Association of Canada, we have many programs, and I strongly feel that the program Women in Security is such an important program because it is important to examine the issues that women face in politics, to examine the issues that women face in various different sectors, whether it be diplomacy, whether it be law, whether it be international relations. Now, obviously, with your experience and your expertise, you've conducted research about some of these pressing issues. This includes sexual assault. This includes women in the military. Now, with the research that you've done, what would you say would be a successful integration strategy to addressing pressing concerns and pressing needs that women face on a regular basis in the military?
Within the military specifically?
Within the military specifically.
So there is a lot of policy out there right now in terms of the military, in terms of integration efforts. However, a big barrier within the military is in terms of the leadership structure and about having a lack of high-ranking female officers in the armed forces in the various fields. So from the Army to the Navy to the Marines and to the Air Force, around the world, there's just this shortage of women in these powerful positions that can go about being important role models for other women pursuing these fields. And being able to encourage through policy and through active change to have more female leaders could be a very interesting way to perhaps change how gender integration is perceived within the armed forces. Additionally, even with leadership courses in the armed forces, there's a severe lack of gender as a primary focus. A lot of the time, gender is seen as an add and stir approach, which means that it's put on as an hour or a few sessions rather than being something that's consistently integrated within a program. And this causes some substantial issues because once you see gender as something that you can just tackle within a short amount of time, you don't really see it as the priority that it is and that it has to be. Because gender is not just the binary between men and women. Gender encompasses everyone, genders in everyday life. And ignoring it, the way the armed forces tends to do, doesn't encourage good, impactful change.
I think there are obviously a lot of influential women out there. And anytime there are positions that are available, whether it be in the military, whether it be in an influential, high-ranking position in the government or in the world of diplomacy, women oftentimes are faced with challenges due to restrictions and due to opportunities being provided more so to men than to women. So I think having a successful integration strategy in place to allow women to serve in the military and to provide women with leadership opportunities, not to confine them, not to restrict them to being in a certain level, I think is fundamental, but also providing women with an opportunity to have a voice. One of the diplomats that I did an interview a while ago was Ms. Nazifa Langarian, and she's the first ever female consul general of Afghanistan here in Toronto. And she talked about some of the challenges that she faced as a result of being a woman and as a result of wanting to serve as a diplomat representing her country. So I think that's something that's fundamental, is to have an open discussion and to have a dialogue about ways to successfully provide women with these opportunities. Obviously, in the military, providing women with leadership roles is crucial. You need to have people that will have someone that they can look up to. Another topic I wanted to touch on is women in politics. Oftentimes, you'll see women who are interested in pursuing politics being faced with challenges. What is your opinion about involving more women in politics and engaging these women in politics? Obviously, we have a lot of successful women who serve as diplomats here in Canada and around the world. But how do we get more women involved?
Well, that's a very tough question, and it's a question that people have been trying to address a lot lately. And you can see even within Canada, the federal government making a concerted effort to include more women in high-ranking positions. Justin Trudeau's famous "It's 2016, so our cabinet should have gender parity." It's very important to encourage women at a young age to be able to believe in themselves, that they are able to pursue a career in politics, that these glass ceilings can be broken going into the political realm. And there are still a lot of barriers today. For example, Canada has never had a woman as the Minister of Finance, and these very high cabinet-ranking positions are often still held by men. But the incremental change is so crucial. And I also think, touching back on mentorship and having role models, you can see in today's political realm, there are so many women seeking office and leadership positions. Hillary Clinton in the States has, well, hopefully next week, secure the Democratic nomination. In the UK, Theresa May is going to be the head of the Tories in the UK. And Angela Merkel in Germany is another very, very powerful woman. So for the first time in history, three of the world's biggest economies could be run by women. And that's such an important step to be made for women in politics, seeing that this can be done, that women can have these leadership roles, is absolutely phenomenal and something that needs to happen for change within politics to take place.
I strongly agree with you. And in terms of getting women involved in the legal field as well, I've talked to many influential lawyers, and oftentimes you'll look at different professions and you'll see these professions being dominated by men. And it's difficult for certain individuals to reach that level without barriers. So I think it's fundamental to have an open discussion, to have those mentors in place, to have those leaders, and to have leaders exist, to have female and strong female leaders that you can look up to and that you can obtain that mentorship from in order to have that accessibility. Because it's difficult if you look at certain firms that are out there. The partners are mostly men. When it comes down to providing young females with accessibility to obtaining a strong mentor, it's oftentimes useful for that individual to have the accessibility from someone who they can look up to, someone that they can relate to, someone that they can see themselves as being at that position a few years down the road. So again, an open dialogue, and then also looking at the role that women play in politics, in international relations, in diplomacy is important. And then coming up with strategies and plans as to what can be done in order to get more women involved in politics, in order to get more young professionals and young females interested in international relations. There are so many young professionals out there and young women and students that I've done interviews with who are very passionate about international relations. So a question I wanted to ask you about diplomacy is, obviously you've had experience researching diplomacy, you've done work, you've traveled. What is your opinion about the representation of female diplomats internationally?
There just aren't enough. There are not enough female diplomats. There are not enough women in the high-ranking positions that there need to be in the field of diplomacy. And although it's slowly changing, it's still not at a level that there is no critical mass that can have such substantial change.